Well, we are most like God when we give. God generously gave us what we needed the most, His Son. He gave. And we become small mirrors, right, of that generosity of God, reflecting back to Him and to our world the things that don't have a grip on us. Tithing is simply 10% and living off of the 90%. And because we obey God in this, God steps in because money doesn't control us, and then God is free to bless us. I want to encourage you as your pastor. If you're new with us today, just tune out for a minute. But if this is your church home, I'm going to encourage you to start tithing. It might be a giant leap for some of you to give toward the church and to trust the Lord. But you know what? He promises to meet your needs as you do that. So thank you to many, many of you who put their trust in God by worshiping Him in their giving of His tithe and our offerings. So I appreciate that. Thank you for giving toward missions too. It's a part of who we are. It's not just this church that is blessed by that, but we bless our missionaries who are doing the work even as we speak. And I just want to highlight too the Let's Pray. It's got a couple of pages in there. For every day is different for you to pray for an emphasis. And let's unite in prayer for our country, for our churches. We need it. Amen. Especially as we head into the election and the future of our nation. And I also want to mention the water baptism class. I'm excited about this. For those interested in being water baptized, or maybe you were baptized as a child or an infant and you didn't really quite understand it, this would be a great time to hear what God's Word says about being water baptized. There's a sign up in the lobby. And so the 25th, we'll meet in the study and talk through that. The actual baptism is on Sunday the 15th. So we'll be baptizing you if you'd like to be baptized. And then, it's not on the slides, but we have a church picnic coming up on September 8th, Sunday. So just kind of earmark that, and it's coming up. We meet at a park not too far from here. It's a great time, and I encourage you to be a part of that. Well, two guys were fishing on a river. One catches the biggest catfish either of them have ever seen, right? He says to the buddy, "We need to remember this spot so we can come back here again." Well, his buddy pulls out a Sharpie out of his pocket, and he marks a big X on the bottom of his boat. The first guy looks at his buddy and he's shaking his head in disgust. "You idiot, right? What if we bring another boat next time?" Let that one sink in. No pun intended. All right. All right. Aiden, smile. Well, a few months back, Julie and I recently visited a Frank Lloyd Wright designed home in Springfield, Illinois. It's called the Dana Thomas House, and Susan Lawrence, she was born in 1862, and she died in 1946. She's the woman who commissioned Frank Lloyd Wright in 1902 to remodel her deceased father's home. Now, if you've ever been to a Frank Lloyd Wright home or structure, you've experienced a genius of architecture. He revolutionized the American domestic architecture, and this home was an early prairie house design. This 12,000 square foot home in 1902 has more than 100 pieces of furniture that are original to the home, and 450 art glass windows, doors, and light fixtures, all designed by Wright himself. And you can see his grand vision for the home with every square foot accounted for and precisely designed. It's amazing. So I'd encourage you to visit his home and others, this home and others here in Chicago, but they're all over the Midwest. It's an impressive home to tour, and it's free. If you ever get a chance, you're in Springfield. Well, homes have styles, right? Let me just read off a bunch of styles. Ranch, colonial, Tudor, Cape Cod, farmhouse, Greek Revival, craftsman, mid-century modern, prairie, bungalow, Mediterranean, cottage, Victorian, neoclassic, art deco, and probably more, right? I just probably named your house. Homes have personalities, they got style, they have charm. Houses also have curb appeal with landscaped yards and gardens. And as you walk into a home, it says something about who lives there and who owns that home, right? If you've ever built your own home, you know the care and the precision you put into making it a safe structure for your family. Because you know how important the foundation is to your house. The foundation of a home is where everything is built upon. And because of that foundation, we can build many rooms. We can build a second story. We can build a third story. We can put a roof on top because the foundation is going to support the weight of that structure. Like a home, like a house, we want our lives to have substance and meaning. We want our lives to count for something. We try to project that our homes, our lives, are flawless. But if we're to come into the front door of our lives, you would see that it's not. Homes come and go. They're temporary, but as our lives are eternal. And just as the foundation to a house is vital to keeping it standing, the foundation of your life is even more important. The foundation of a house, to keep it standing, is pretty important. The foundation of the church, built in 1970, is pretty important because we're still here today, and it's solid. But even more important is the foundation of your life, your life. So I'm excited to begin a new sermon series titled, What We Believe. What We Believe. It's in what we believe that our foundations are built. Belief and trust in who we live our lives for, Jesus, right? Beliefs that govern our lives, the way that we live them, how we conduct ourselves and our behaviors, what we put into our bodies and into our minds and how we think, the way that we treat others in our daily lives, interacting with humanity. You see, we can't see beliefs, but being a loving person will impact others. Having respect isn't something that you can grasp, but it values others. Being trustworthy isn't something we can grab a hold of, but it's a strategic part of our foundation. Forgiving others isn't something that we keep in our pockets, but it adds to the foundation of our lives in a really big way. You see, our society is telling us that right is wrong, and that wrong is right. They're telling us that up is down and down is up. They're saying to us that there are no absolutes. It's only relative. You live by your rules, and I'll live by them, my own. You live by you, I'll do me. And they're trying, among other things, and if we were to raise our hand and say, wait a second, I don't think that's true, it's almost, they're saying it's hate speech, but it's just saying, no, there's truth. There's truth. There is right. There is wrong. They're trying to destroy God's idea of sexuality between a man and a woman who are married, that there's no difference between a man and a woman, that a child should be able to choose their own gender identity, that a baby in the womb isn't a baby, and it's an option to get rid of. And the message they're sending is that there are no rules. There's no rules. Do what you want, when you want, where you want, with who you want. There's no whys. There's no consequences. You live by your rules. And I'll live by mine. And you can see, if you play that out, it's chaos in our society. And it's already kind of happening. You see, as followers of Jesus, we can't bury our heads and just hope for the best. It's why building our lives on a solid foundation that won't crumble by the pressures of society to conform to their behaviors, to their beliefs, is so absolutely important. building on a foundation that will withstand the onslaught of sin and deception and corruption and pure evil in our world. There has to be a standard. There has to be right and wrong. How do we know if the foundation of our lives is solid? If what we're building upon is it real? Will it last? It's a question that we need to answer. The title of my message this morning in this series, What We Believe, is Inspired Foundation. Inspired Foundation. Before we dig into what we believe over the next few several weeks, we must lay a foundation to build it all upon. And just like any house or building that is being built, a solid foundation is critical to the success of the house and the building standing. So we start at the bottom and we work our way up. You never build a roof first. That'd be silly. And the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, it's that foundation. It's called the Word of God because it's the very words of God. You see, if God thought it important enough to for the authors to write down what he wanted them to write down, it must be important to read. It must be important to study and to obey. Jesus is preaching in his famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. He's talking about the Beatitudes. He goes further on and says how God's people make a difference in this world by being salt and light, and how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament Scriptures. He further talks about anger. He talks about sexual sin. He talks about divorce and vows and loving our enemies and not taking revenge. I think all that applies today. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about not just doing good works to get the praise and the applause from others, but to really give to the needy and not do it as a show. And he teaches the disciples about prayer. He teaches them about fasting. He goes on to talk about money and possessions and what true riches look like and to stop worrying about stuff. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about judging others and the power of effective prayer. He talks about the golden rule. How many know the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? He talked about entering the narrow gate to watch out for false prophets and identifying people by their actions, by the fruit of their life. Then Jesus comes to this section in Matthew chapter 7. And I'll read it. It'll be on the screens. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. So Jesus is wrapping up his sermon, and he ends with a warning that there will be people who claim they believe in God, who did work for God and drove out demons in God's name and even performed miracles. But Jesus, sadly, will tell them straight up, I never knew you. You didn't do the will of God. Then Jesus tells a story about the wise and foolish builders. How many remember the song in kids' church? The wise man built his on the rock. The wise man. Okay, you know. The wise person builds on rock. The foolish person builds on sand. this little parable, this little story is saying that if we hear God's word and we put it into practice, into action, we're like the wise man in the story who built his house on the rock and it survived the storms. If we hear and we do, we're wise. But if we don't listen and we don't put his words into action into our lives, we're foolish. And when the storms come, our house will crash. And the storms of life will come. Not if, but when. We all could raise both hands and say, yes, we've been through some storms. And I'm not talking about the wind and the rain and the tornadoes that we had recently. I'm talking about the storms of life that are internal and they affect our families and our lives. So Jesus is saying that there are two types of people, the wise who hear and act, and the foolish who don't hear and they don't act. So this, again, this isn't talking about a person's intellect, about being wise or being foolish. It's their spiritual life. It's their spiritual foundation. And this story is talking about true Christ followers and false Christians. Between someone who was committed to Jesus and living for him and someone who calls themselves a Christian, but their lives don't follow, their lives don't reflect Jesus at all. In this story, the wise and the foolish, they both think that they're true followers. Both think that they're building a house on a solid foundation. They both desire to build a house. They each built the same kind of house. Both built houses that looked good and looked sturdy, but there's a big glaring difference. One had a solid foundation and one did not. The first man dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on rock. The second laid the foundation of his house on the sand. And a person is considered wise or foolish depending on how they respond to Jesus' teaching found in God's word. And I love how Matthew ended this chapter, and Jesus finished preaching. The crowds were captivated. The crowds were amazed by Jesus' sermon. Like all of you, right? You're just amazed at my messages. You're like in awe. Some of you even stay awake. You stay awake through my messages. But Jesus, he's taught with authority. And they hadn't heard that before. There was something different about his teaching. You know, the key point in Jesus making through this sermon is that you and I must listen to and obey his word. What words? Well, the words that are found in this book. Jesus is comparing your life to a house. No matter how nice or amazing the house looks above ground, if there is no solid foundation, the house will eventually crumble. The house will not last. It will begin to falter and you'll have some problems. I think there's probably someone here who've had foundational problems and you know what I'm talking about. How crucial it is to have a solid foundation. The most important thing about your life is your foundation. Let me say that again. The most important thing about your life is your foundation. Hear me this morning. No matter how good or bad that your life looks on the outside, how successful or unsuccessful you are, or how much money you have or don't have, or what kind of condition of the car you drive, or what family you're from, or you don't have a family. Hear me, your life isn't built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and his inspired word. It will collapse. How do I know that? Jesus said it. Jesus talked about it. If your life is built on money, possessions, or work, or success, or sex, or pleasure, or politics, or security, or retirement, or family, or comfort, or health, or fame, fill in the blank for your life, right? Guess what? All of that. All of that. It's just sand. It's just sand. You see, anyone smart enough knows that you can't build a house on sand. But that's what many people do with their lives. They build, they're thinking and they're believing that they're building on a solid foundation, but it's all sand. people believe, I'm okay. I think I'm safe. I believe in God. My house, my life, it's not going to fall. I think I'll beat the odds here. You see, and it's Satan's desire to give people a false sense of security. People who build the foundation of their lives on sand are seeking really their own way, answering to no one and doing what they want. They're living their for their own pleasure, taking care of number one. No one's going to tell me, right? See, the inspired foundation of Scripture, both the Old and the New Testament, see, they're of God. And the revelations of God to us, to humanity. The Word of God, it says, is infallible. That means there's no mistakes. And if that, the authoritative rule of faith and conduct for every believer. I believe it's 1,600 years for this book to come together with 40 different authors, different backgrounds and languages and callings, how it all came together. It has to be God. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16, you know it. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Not some, not parts that we like, parts that we don't. All Scripture is inspired by God. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. This is the measuring line. This is the map. This is it right here. It's not my thoughts. It's not my opinions that are going to help you. It's God's Word. It's God's Word, period. And it all starts with the foundation. And as the builder, I must build it myself. As the builder, I must build it myself. You must build it yourself. No one else can build your foundation for you but you. The foundation of your life is your responsibility. That's why we have kids ministry. We're helping lay that foundation to understand that as they get older, they're learning the Word of God. They're learning how God loves them. God has got a plan for their life. They're helping them build a foundation. So one day when they understand what God's Word means, what God's done for them, that they accept Jesus into their heart. Teenagers, it's not your parents or your youth pastor's job to build it. Adults, it's not your spouse or anyone else or even your pastor's job to build your foundation for you. You must build it yourself. Following Jesus, surrendering to God, giving your life over to the Lord, it's a choice that only you can make and no one else. When you stand before God someday, you won't be able to say, I went to church with my family. I tithed when I could. I served in the nursery. I'm here because my parents believed in you. No, those will not hold water. That won't work. It must be your decision alone. There is no second-hand faith. Becky mentioned this last week. There's no grandchildren in heaven. What she meant by that was there's going to be grandchildren in heaven, right? We're going to have our, maybe someday I'll be a grandfather and I'll have my grandkids in heaven. What she's saying is it has to be your own faith. It has to be your own faith. You can't get in on someone else's faith. You just can't do it. Well, how do I do that? How do I build my foundation? How do I know if I'm building on the right foundation? Great questions to ask, right? So let's go to God's Word, the source, the foundation. First thing is this, you build your foundation by confessing your sins. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many have quoted that before for yourself to hear? You build your foundation by believing in Jesus Christ to save you. Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and that are saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. See, that's the beginning of your restored relationship with God. Another one, you build your foundation by obeying God's word to grow. Joshua 1, 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be able to, you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. I think we all want to succeed, don't we? And to help you do that, Peace Chapel, we want you to be a part of a small group on Sundays or Wednesday nights or Thursday mornings. It's designed to help you grow, to help us grow. Paul's Sunday school class, he's not pulling out a lecture that he wrote. He's going to the Word of God and unpacking that so we understand that Wednesday nights we're going through the end times. Right? It's awesome what God is in Revelation and Daniel. None of us fully get it, but man, there's some depth there. And the women on Wednesday nights and Thursday mornings are in the New Testament now encountering Jesus, and good things are happening. Why? Is it just to feel good? Is it just to get together and have cupcakes? No, it's more than that. It's to grow in our faith. Pray one for another. Encourage one another. It's happening. Maybe you're part of a small group outside these walls. Great. Perfect. Do it. Go for it. Start your own. You build your foundation by belonging to the family of faith. You've heard me read this verse many times, Hebrews 10:25. We should not stop gathering together with other believers as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming. Guess what? The Lord's day is coming. He's coming. We need to come together and encourage one another and pray for each other and lift each other up and cry with one another and laugh with one another. See, that's what the world's missing. They don't have that. Making the Sunday gathering a priority for your spiritual growth, becoming a committed member of Peace Chapel. You see, those who build their foundation on the rock, they put the words found in this word into practice. Pray for your enemies. Do I really have to do that? It's in here. Yeah. Man, that's hard. God, help me to pray for my enemies. Forgive one another. What? What? God, no, surely. Surely you understand my circumstance. I don't have to forgive that person. It doesn't say that. Pray for one another. I mean, it's in here. It's hard. If you want to coast into heaven, don't read this book. You may not make it. I don't know. One commentator wrote this: to know Christ is to love Christ. To love Christ is to obey Christ. You must build it yourself. No one can build it for you. And as a builder, I must build it right. You see, there's a right way and a wrong way to build a foundation for a home. The wrong way is to ignore the site conditions, using inadequate materials, neglecting load calculations, and overlooking safety factors, right? Contractors who build houses, they just can't take shortcuts with foundations. It's vital. You, as the builder of your own foundation, you've got to build it right. It must be built on the foundation of Jesus and His Word. Building your life on your own foundation, it won't work. Your own foundation won't work. It must be something or someone outside of yourself, something bigger, God, who can help you build your foundation. And that foundation has always been and forever will be the Word of God, the rock. This is my pet rock, Rocky. You grew up in the 70s, 80s, or 70s, you had a pet rock, didn't you? You see, it's not what society tells us is true. It's not what's trending in other parts of the world is true. It's not what the left or the right believes at any given moment is true. It's not those who are enlightened and think that the Bible is out of touch and it's old-fashioned and there's more than one way to heaven. It's all sand if it goes against the Word of God. See, God created this planet. so he gets to make the rules. And we don't like to hear that because we want to make our own rules. We want to do our own thing. Me too. To build your life right, listen to what it says in Romans chapter 2, verse 2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know God has good things for you. He wants good things for you. Don't be like the people who build their lives on sand. Don't be like them. Allow God to transform your heart and your mind into a new person, building it on the rock. So when the storms come, and they'll come, you will stand. You won't crumble. What we believe. You see, it matters what or who you believe in because it guides and directs your life and how you live it. It matters on who you believe in because it guides and directs your life and how you live it every day. Over the next few weeks, we'll continue to build on this foundation of God's Word and what we believe. Inspired foundation. How can you know or distinguish between the two houses? Well, it tells us right in the story. It tells us right here. When the rain and the streams and the wind comes into our lives, you'll be able to tell. Like trouble and persecution and sin and pride and doubt and fear and despair and death and a thousand other things, right? It's then we'll know where our life is built upon. If it's built on Jesus and His Word, the foundation, right? It won't be pleasant. It won't be easy, but it'll stand. It'll stand. If your life is not built on Jesus and His Word as the foundation, friends, it'll fall. Make no mistake, the foundation of our lives will be tested. You know that. You've experienced that. I want to encourage you. Build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Continue to build. Here's a quote. There is only one secure foundation, a genuine, deep relationship with Jesus Christ, which will carry you through any and all turmoil. No matter what storms are raging around you, you'll stand firm if you stand on His love. The storms will come in our lives. The question then is, what's our foundation built on? Rock or sand? Listen to this paraphrase version that we read earlier, Matthew chapter 7. Helps us see it just a little bit differently. Knowing the correct password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me, Jesus said. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now. At the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our super spiritual projects had everyone talking. And you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner, improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on the solid rock. Rain poured down, the rivers flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter. Can you say that? Stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach, and when the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. It's the same, it's just paraphrased and worded a little differently. Inspired foundation. The day we visited Frank Lloyd Wright's home in Springfield was all made possible, right? Because of a strong and solid foundation. If the foundation were weak, or if there were shortcuts taken, the house wouldn't have lasted as long as it has. What we don't see in this amazing home, its foundation, is the very key to the structure surviving 120 years this year. She commissioned it in 1902. It was completed in 1904. For 120 years, it stood. Bottom line today, bottom line, a question. How firm is my foundation? How firm is my foundation? Let's pray.